It's a privilege to look into God's Word. God has done a great favor to us by giving His Word to us. Moreover, giving Lord Jesus Himself as an example. Let's look into this verse in Matthew 4, verse 4. Matthew 4, verse 4 say, Jesus Himself said something very important. Jesus' words were life and truth. He said, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Jesus spoke, he never spoke religiously. Jesus spoke with lot of conviction, and he was speaking the truth with lot of burden. Every word he spoke was very powerful truth, because those words had truth and which will deliver us from our fallen condition, we can say, or religiosity or clutches, as Acts 10:38 says, it reads like this, that Jesus went about doing good. He was anointed to set the captives free. That set the captive free, those releasing those who are oppressed. See, we are all oppressed by so many things. But Jesus came to deliver us by His word, by His life. What Jesus is saying here is, man shall not live by bread alone. To live on this earth, Jesus came and lived on this earth. And He is saying that, no, don't assume or think or be convinced that you are living because you are eating food. No. But man is supposed to live by every word which proceeds out of mouth of God. We need to think, what does that mean? See, as I understand, Jesus is our example. How He lived each day. He was very eager, attentive, and He was so desperate to hear words from His Father. Father, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to say? See, He lived a wonderful life and so powerful that He wanted all His people, rather all the people in the world, to live the way He lived, exactly to pattern our life according to Him. But what to do? I don't know. Maybe 99% of people have not even realized or kept in darkness by Satan. That's what I think Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 4. God of this world has blinded their eyes. See, that's why when we come to the Word of God, we must come with a lot of humility and hunger. Then, Lord, please enlighten our heart. Even Paul writes, I think Ephesians 1, says, he prays with tears that your heart may be enlightened. Even I stand here with a lot of fear. Lord, give me grace that my heart be enlightened to see what you are trying to say. See, we were hearing other day from Brother Suresh about one of the conditions of discipleship, how we deal or get influenced, or how it matters and affects our relationship with our relatives, if I want to be a disciple. And Brother Charles was sharing about how we need to protect ourselves from deception. And also we heard from other day Santosh that zeal, we should have zeal for God's house. But when I was thinking about all this, I was trying to understand what the scripture says. Like, in other words, Lord, how do I protect myself from all these things? How do I protect myself from losing zeal for God's house and losing truth? And in other words, how I can protect myself from deception. The deception is rampant. So how do I protect myself? I would like to read a verse in so Matthew chapter 13. Jesus talks about kingdom of God. Verse 9, he speaks about parable of the sower. I wanted to see verse 10. Verse 10, the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" The disciples asked Jesus, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" This is disciples asking Jesus that, "You're talking to all these people." So you can see that verse 2, multitudes of people come and believe in Jesus and follow him. And disciples are asking, "Why do you speak to him in parables?" In other words, they're not really able to understand, because maybe disciples themselves said, "We are also not clear about what you're saying." Then verse 18, we see that Jesus answering, "Hear then the parable of the sower." He's explaining to disciples. But what is important is what's between 11 to 17 is very, very important, which really inspired me or encouraged me to see the importance of it. What Jesus was saying. See, Jesus could have straight away said, "Here is the answer, I will explain." But before that, he wanted to say something. That is the answer, why I am doing this. See, I will explain to you, but why I speak in parables. See, verse 11 said, "He answered and said to them, 'To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven.'" That is, to whom? For disciples. "But them it is not granted. For whoever asks to him shall more be given, and he shall have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away. Therefore I speak to them in parables. Because while seeing they do not see." See, when I think about all the history of the Bible from beginning to the Jesus' time or Paul's time or John's time. See, we see that the large number could not get the point. Means even in Jesus' time, most of the people couldn't understand what Jesus was trying to say. That's why Jesus said, "For you it is revealed." That means if you want to be a disciple, then you will understand. If you are not a disciple, you are not able to understand. See, from the history we see that in the Bible, the large number of people are not getting the point. What all the godly people, even Moses' time or Job's time or Isaiah, all the prophets and Jesus' time, Paul's time, even some of the co-workers couldn't understand and left him. And even John says, Peter says, see, most of the people couldn't understand, even those who associated in Jesus' time. Even among the disciples, the one who called himself disciple couldn't get the point, and he missed the point. And what is the danger now? Now I can assume that I am okay and I can miss the point. The why I am thinking about this. See, I want to be a disciple when I understand, maybe we can go through that. If I don't have a mind of a disciple, or I don't want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, I miss the point. I don't get. Or, in other words, what we heard last week about deception. I can be a candidate for deception. I think I am okay. See, I've been a Christian before I was born again. I was so-called Christian for 25 years. I thought I was a Christian. See, maybe we'll turn to that verse in Acts chapter 11. It's very interesting, this verse is. This is a well-known verse. You know this verse. 11:26. Yeah. 11:26. Oh, sorry. 11:26, yes. Yeah, when he had found him, that is, Saul was found, he brought him to Antioch, that is Barnabas, and it came about that for an entire year they met with the church and taught considerably, considerable number, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. See, today it's a word, Christian is so rampant or well known. But here, first time, they were called Christians because they were disciples. I need to understand, Lord, am I a Christian? In other words, I should check whether I am a disciple. See, what's the point? If I turn to Matthew 13, what Jesus is saying, if you are not a disciple, you will miss the point, what God is trying to say. Even we may know Bible and we may understand, we hear messages, we may associate. The classic example was Judas Iscariot himself. He was a close associate of Jesus for 3.5 years. He missed the point. And he was deceived. See, we heard about deception. How do I protect myself from deception? And you know what is deception? Deception means I'm not aware that I'm deceived. I think I am okay when I am not okay. That is deception, which is very, very dangerous. See, deception is something like, see, I have a 100 rupees note. I think, yeah, I am 100 rupees rich. And only I realize when I go to the bank and the bank says, no, it is not valid note. See, that's how it is. The deception is something, for example, according to that verse in Acts 11, I assume that I am a Christian when I am not a disciple. That is exactly what happened for 25 years to me, that I assumed that I was a Christian. I was not a Christian because I was not a disciple. That is the power of power of deception. Until I came to a point, something is not okay with me. Then mercifully, God convicted me of my sin. The Holy Spirit comes to convict us that first of our sin and then of righteousness and judgment. See, when I was convinced that I was a sinner, then I, through the word of God, through the help of the Holy Spirit, I could see that I am not right with God now. If I am a sinner, I am not right with God because sin is not settled between me and God. So then I don't have a relationship with God. I am totally blind. I am totally blind. So that is what Jesus is trying to say here. What is he saying? Therefore I speak to them in parables, verse 13, chapter 13, Matthew. Because while seeing, they do not see. While hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. It's a very dangerous condition. In their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, you will keep on hearing, but will not understand. You keep on seeing, but will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull, and with their ears, they scarcely hear, and they have chosen their eyes, closed their eyes, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart and turn again, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. Truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Then he explains the parable of the sower. And Jesus is saying, see, you are so blessed. You gave up everything. You decided to follow me and you prioritize to become disciple. And now See, here I say, in the past, all the prophets and righteous men wanted to see this, which you are seeing. You are so blessed. That's why, brothers and sisters, my heart is burdened for myself. That Lord, I want to have a greater hunger, greater humility. Holy Spirit, will you please find my heart right to enlighten, to be enlightened, so that I can see what you would like to show me. See, Holy Spirit will bring us here like this to show us. That's why I'm so thankful to God. See, this, we may not understand everything. We may see, somebody may sit here and say, oh, this is like this, this is like that. No, see, the thing is, we have to come with humility and hunger in our heart. Nobody is senior here, nothing, because Jesus is the only person who is the sovereign authority here, and he is building his church. And if he says, I cannot touch this person, he cannot touch. If he cannot touch, his heart will be closed. Even my heart can be closed. Jesus has to find somebody's heart humble and contrite. I think Isaiah 57:15 says, I am in the midst of the humble to revive their hearts. Jesus is here to revive. If my heart is hardened, or my heart is proud, or my heart is glorying about something about myself, oh, I'm in CFC here and this and that, anything makes me proud will block my heart from Jesus, because Jesus cannot access. Jesus can access only humble hearts. So that's why we need to come with fear and trembling and ask Holy Spirit to help us. This is what Jesus is trying to say. Be a disciple. If you are a disciple, you will never be deceived. The other day I was hearing daily devotion. Brother Zach was saying, a fervent-hearted disciple cannot be deceived. I was blessed by that statement, I think Tuesday or Wednesday, one of those days. A fervent-hearted disciple cannot be deceived. If you are fervent-hearted, fervent in love for Jesus Christ, you cannot be deceived. Deception cannot touch us. We can detect very easily. So I was thinking about this verse in Hebrews chapter 12. See how I can be a disciple. The disciple means I must have a passionate hunger to see the life of Jesus. I want my heart to become like yours. My thoughts should be renewed like yours. I don't want to be attached. See, in fact, I was thinking about one verse. See, I think 1 Corinthians 15 before we see here. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 19. See, if we have only hoped in Christ in this life, we are of all men most to be pitied. See, what he is trying to say is, see, your hope is only for this life. Then you are pitied. That means, see, our life doesn't end here on earth. Our hope is that I'll be resurrected. I'll be with Jesus. I'll live with him. And he is my hope. And my life is not only living on this earth. In fact, maybe I would like to read that verse in Amplified version. If we are abiding in Christ, have hope only in this life, and that is all, then we are all of people most miserable and to be pitied. That is what Paul is saying. Paul is saying, don't be too much engrossed with the things of the world alone. Then your hope is not set right. Jesus was not thinking about, oh, my life on this earth, my life on this earth. No. He was, I'm going back to Father. I'm living for a short time. I have a purpose on this earth, but this is very short time, a very small time I'm here. This life on earth is not all that important. Yes, God has a purpose. I just need to fulfill what I have, what I don't have. I'm not like the worldly person thinking always about what I get, what I have and all that. No, money, how to make money, how to comfort, have comforts and things like that. No, that is miserable life. So that's what Paul is saying. And let's turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, since we have a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every circumstance, encumbrance, and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. See, this is what Hebrews writer is saying. See, there is a race set for us. That is to be a, if I am a disciple, I will see this race. If I am not a disciple, I will not be able to see this race. Otherwise, I will be running the race according to so-called Christians. Oh, Christian race. So-called Christian race. I was running that race for 25 years. I was totally blinded. I was not even born again. So, I thought I was a Christian. I am running a Christian race. But here, for a disciple, there is a race set. But how I can do that? Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. That is my calling and our calling. Then I will not be deceived. I have a glorious life, wonderful life. And Jesus said that, see, seek this kingdom and righteousness, then all that you need will be added to you. I think I was referring this. That there is no explanation to a godly man's life. I have moved with Brother Ian and Brother Zach or many other godly people. It's surprising. It's not normal. It's supernatural. See, brother, you think about God's kingdom and God supplies all your needs. This man cannot understand. That means normal man cannot understand. But disciple can understand because it works in his life. But he himself cannot explain. But he understands. See, that's how Christian life is. That we live in peace. See, you think about Jesus. Think about Paul. They never had an easy life. Their life was full of, surrounded with troubles, so-called every day. It was like that. You humanly try to see life of Jesus, life of Paul. The day he got converted, Paul, people wanted to kill him. Till then, he was so recommended by the authorities and whole government was with him and things like that. He had a very comfortable life. But the day he became a disciple, and whole authority was against him. People wanted to kill him. And he had to live in hiding. And he had to be very careful. But he lived a wonderful life. But inside, he was like a lion. Whatever the circumstances was. Because God was in control. Because he was a disciple. He didn't set his heart on things of the world. Worries and cares of the world. So, I want to see another verse. See, how to pattern our life after Jesus. Many verses I was thinking. Maybe you are aware of these verses. Hebrews 5:7 says, in the days of his flesh, what I am trying to see for myself was that, Lord, show me what was your life, what it means to be a disciple. Show me what it means to be a disciple. How did you live? See, like I didn't continue there. Hebrews 12, if you continue there, he endured all kind of troubles and difficulties. And why we are asked to fix our eyes? I think verse 4 says, you should not lose heart by seeing lot of troubles. No, troubles may come, but look at Jesus. He lived a wonderful life because whole heaven was backing him. Whole heaven was with him. Even if I'm a disciple setting my eyes on Jesus, then whole heaven will back me. If I take off my eyes, I collapse. So here, how Jesus lived, how to pattern my life after Jesus in the days of his flesh, when he offered up both prayers and supplication with loud cryings and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his piety, fear of God. So this is the how I have to pattern my life. Jesus was helpless. Jesus was helpless. So we can be helpless. We don't have to think that, oh, everything will be smooth and nice. No, it was not so for Jesus. If you're a disciple, you are fighting against your own flesh, that is self, and so many things, you know, your emotions, you try to convince you, and the self-pity, and so many things. Yourself is against you. And if you are not filled with the Holy Spirit, you cannot tell your flesh to be quiet. Shut up. You cannot tell that. So, if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you can say that, no. No to flesh. You need the power. That's what Jesus said. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you will receive power. Power for what? To say no to the flesh. No to the world. It's all trying to gush in and make you a so-called Christian. A religious person. And that's why if you see the most of the churches don't talk about repentance, don't talk about sin, don't talk about keeping your conscience clear, don't talk about being a disciple, because most of the people want that. No, you know, don't tell me all these things. These are all very difficult. I don't want this. But Jesus was saying only that. That's why multitude come. They see that, oh, he is doing so many miracles, and they come and they all vanish. They come, they all vanish. They'll see something. It's double-mindedness. They all come, and when they see that, oh, there is conditions, then they'll go away. Oh, I can't be following everything what he says. I can say this, I can take this. Better that avoid this company and go to a church where they only talk about songs and this and that. Oh, I have a nice time. I remember Brother Zach saying, Sunday you go to church and come back and you say that you had a nice time or God had a nice time. So that's the problem. So we all had a nice time, wonderful time. I wait for Sunday, oh, Sunday morning, songs and this and that, and nothing is touched. So that is deception. I can be deceived. So here Jesus didn't have it easy. He was so weak, and I see that he was like a worm. Isaiah says that he was like a worm, so helpless. We don't want to be in that condition. Oh, it's too difficult to live with my wife and husband. Oh, children, so many difficult circumstances. It's difficult. Yeah, it will be like that. It was not different for Jesus. But he prayed with loud cryings and tears. He said, Lord, will you please stand with me? It is too difficult. I know you want me to be a disciple. See, that's how disciple means. He will look to Jesus and want to be like him. And another verse in chapter 4, verse 15. Just a few verses before. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. But one who has been tempted in all things, we are yet without sin. We need to think about it. Lord, I want to be a disciple. Teach me, what does that mean? Like, you are tempted in all points. Did you really feel the way I feel? Did you really go through what I went through? Yes. Bible says yes. So we have to think and ask Holy Spirit to convince our heart. When our heart is convinced, then like Paul, we can rejoice all the time. You know, that word Paul said, I think, let's see that verse in Philippians 4, verse 11. See, he said verse 11. I speak with want. Not that I speak from want. For I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. See, this is what Paul. See, it's learned. You know, what is disciple means? Disciple means a student. See, this word learn is an educative word. See, we have to be focused. We want our children to be students. And we want our children to be good students. We all like our children to be good students. This is what exactly God is expecting. When God says, I want you to be disciple, that means he wants us to be a student. Disciple means a student, a good student. That is what Paul is. Paul says, being a student of the Holy Spirit, being a disciple, I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am in. It's so glorious. See, where did Paul learn this? He learned it from Jesus. He looked at Jesus so intently. Holy Spirit opened his heart to see Jesus. That Jesus was, he learned to be content. He knew, oh Lord, give me wisdom how to handle this. I don't want to avoid difficult circumstances. I don't want to run away from difficult circumstances. But give me wisdom how to learn to handle this. What kind of circumstances? I know how to get along with humble means. No, I don't have enough. What to do? Oh, shall I take a loan? Oh, quick to take a loan? Then what happens? Then I'll run into problem. That is not a disciple. Oh, I'll fix this. I have a hole. I'll dig another hole and fill this hole. Now what about that? Oh, I'll dig another hole. This becomes a kind of deception from Satan. So, but what Paul is saying is, I learned it from Jesus. Because I am a disciple of Jesus, I learned to get along with humble means. I also know how to live in prosperity. See, I remember Brother Zach saying something like this. I think most of the people in CFC know how to live with poverty. But I think most of the people, he said, some of the people know that how to live in poverty, but most of the people may not know how to live in prosperity. Because it's very difficult. Very difficult. So here he is saying that how to live in prosperity also. Means when I have more also, I don't change my pattern of life. I think the classic example would be John Wesley. Brother Zach once said that, I'm not surprised that God used John Wesley so much. That he was very careful with spending money. He was not. His life pattern didn't change just because he started getting more money. His life pattern remained same when I was getting less or more. That's how Jesus was. That's how God will test us. In any and every circumstances, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. Then it says the famous verse, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. See, it's in that connection that promise is given. So I was saying that Jesus was tempted in all points. That's our calling, brothers and sisters. But I have to have a mind of a disciple. I want to be a disciple. Lord, I don't want to be distracted by so many things. I don't want to think that, oh, I'm doing something in church. Oh, I'm okay. I'm fine. No, those things are not the test. The test is, am I a disciple in my secret life? That's why Jesus spoke so much about secret life in Matthew 5, 6, 7. Then he said, you are a wise man if you hear these things and act upon it. Then you are a truly disciple. You are my disciple. In fact, there itself he says that many will come, but few will find this narrow way. What is that narrow way? Being a disciple of Jesus. More than anything. You don't glory in anything. Or just because I'm in CFC, so I'm okay. No, I may not be okay. Just because I'm in CFC, I think somebody said, just because you park your bike in the car garage, it doesn't become car. Get it? So it doesn't become car. So like that, just because I come to CFC, I'll not become disciple. No, if I associate with disciples, and if I associate with Jesus, I become disciple. I don't become automatically a disciple. See, then Philippians 2, verse 5, once Brother Ian said like this, that you can keep this verse and live your whole life, but then you should know all the other verses which helps me to know this. That is verse 5, 2, 5. Have this attitude in yourself which was also in Christ Jesus. Now I need to understand. I need to study carefully Matthew 5, 6, 7. Maybe take a red letter Bible and check all that Jesus said. What was behind what Jesus was saying? See, despite of that, see what Jesus told was, see, if you are a disciple, I understand all that I am saying. See, we may not be able to get what Jesus is saying in many things if I don't have a mind of a disciple. But to have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus, how I can be a disciple, that I should have attitudes of Jesus. Then what we heard last week, Matthew 24. So here is the very important thing when connecting to deception, what Jesus was saying. Matthew 24 verse 12. Because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. Why love will grow cold? Because things around us doesn't do justice to us. You don't have justice. You are not given what you deserve. Lawlessness will increase. If you get time, you can read, I think, Psalm 76, 73 or 76. See, which a righteous man starts thinking, why all the evil people are flourishing? And he gets a lot of doubt until he comes to a point where he comes to a sanctuary of God and he sees that, Lord, you do justice to me. See, that's how Jesus lived. If you read 1 Peter 2:23, it says Jesus left everything in the hands of God because he will do justice. You know, when we think about judgment day, are we scared? Oh, one day we have judgment day? No. You know, the beautiful part of a judgment day is that everybody will get justice. All of us will get justice. You don't have to be disappointed. You may not get justice here. But what happens here, what Jesus said is, if you want to be kept from deception, be careful here. Even though lawlessness increases around you, your love should remain strong. It should not become cold. But the one who endures to the end, it is he who shall be saved. This was Jesus. Jesus endured till the end in love. His address was love. He never moved out of love. All the time he was found in love. That's why even though those who killed him, even to those who killed him, he prayed, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. See, always he saw that they don't know. They don't understand. Because they are blind. They don't understand. If they really know what they're doing, they won't do it. They're blind. See, we can be blind like that. If you are blind, we'll be doing something which is hurting God. You know, regarding Paul also. Jesus told Paul, Saul, you are persecuting me. Saul said, no, where am I persecuting you, Lord? See, Jesus' thought was, if you are persecuting my disciple, my church, that means you are persecuting me. See, that's how it is. It is so blessed thing to know that. I thank God for that verse where I can understand that if I persecute the church, I'm persecuting Jesus. The other side of it is that if I serve the church, I'm serving Jesus Christ. That's how it is. See, but the one who endures till the end shall be saved. We are called to endure in love. I think Jude verse 21 says that if you stay within the boundary of God, where God's love can reach, that means God's address is love. God's love will help me to be a disciple no matter what happens. Then I would like to think about three verses where Jesus used the word disciple. It was interesting the other day when I was listening to Brother Suresh. I just did a search sitting here. I saw about 76 times the word disciple comes in the Gospel of John. But I looked through the red letter Bible. At three times Jesus spoke about word disciple. So that is a wonderful indication to check whether I am a disciple. Three times It's very important. I told you in the beginning that Jesus, whenever Jesus spoke, he spoke with, like Brother Charles was saying the other day, all that Jesus spoke with, he called spade spade. He was very realistic and clear, and he didn't beat around the bush. So I would like to turn to John chapter 8, that is first time, verse 31. It's a well-known verse. Jesus therefore was saying to those Jews who had believed in him. See, this is the conflict also. See, people believed. There are many times I was listening to something the other day. So, believed. Are you a believer or a disciple? I think I was listening to some message by Brother Victor. Are you a believer or a disciple? You just believe? Or are you a disciple? And disciple is a learner and follower. If you don't become a disciple, you are only a believer. Like John 2, it's a classic statement there. It says, many saw miracles and believed in Jesus, but Jesus did not entrust himself to them. Because they were not disciples. Because he knew their heart, they are coming for something else. They want something, they come. They are all believers. But here it says, those who believed in him, what Jesus is saying, if you abide in my word, see, am I a passionate seeker of God's word? Jesus himself said, man shall not live by bread, but every word which proceeds out of the mouth of God. Am I a diligent seeker of a word? Not only seeker and also want to abide, stay in the word of God? Then you are truly my disciples. See, how do I know that I am a disciple? Jesus himself said, if you truly abide in my word and you are eagerly seeking to hear my word and want to follow it, act on it, then you are my disciple. See, he's giving a condition straight away. The three times, the second time where Jesus used the word disciple is chapter 13. Verse 35. Here he used the word. By this all men, I don't want to explain this. Jesus was washing disciples' feet. After that he said, by this all men will know that you are my disciple. You are my disciples. If you have love for one another. See here again, he is using the word disciple and he is giving a condition. You check yourself whether you are a disciple. It's a word for me. Lord, am I a disciple? It's very plain. If you love one another, if you have love for your brothers, who may be difficult person, or you have love for your wife and children, circumstances in the office, you have love, then you are my disciple. Because I am seeking after love. I remained in love all the time. Even here, somebody who is going to betray me, but I am washing his feet sitting here. That is love. And earlier, what we, if you abide in my word. Then third time he said was chapter 15, just one page away. 15 verse 8. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. See, the fruit of the Spirit. If you are not producing fruit, if you are not, your character is not developing like Jesus, like we read in Philippians 2:5, your attitudes are not changing like Jesus, then you are not my disciple. Okay, it's not changing, Lord. I want this. Then come. Come, I'll teach you. Come, I want to close with this verse. See, Jesus says, come, I will teach you. I will help you. I am here to help you. I lay down my life to help you and save you. Jesus came to save his people from their sin. The sin of being a worldly, unconverted, so-called Christian or so-called believer. No, I want to change you. Come to me. Matthew 11:28. Jesus said, come to me. It's a wonderful invitation. Jesus never uses any disappointing words. Those who trust in the Lord will never be disappointed. If anyone wants to be a disciple. Lord, I want to be a disciple and I want to be a true disciple. I don't want to be a so-called disciple. No, I want to know the truth. I want Satan to recognize me that I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. Not people around me. No, I want to be a witness before Satan. That Satan should realize, like God told about Job. So, have you seen my servant Job? See, what a testimony. So, how I can be a disciple? Let Satan know that. I want that kind of a disciple. Lord, will you please help me? Yeah, Jesus said, come to me all who are weary and heavy laden. Is it difficult? No, it's not difficult. Come, I will teach you. I will show my own life. You will see Jesus. See, that's the reason we come here. Even myself. I come here not because I'm an elder or church responsibility Sunday. No, I come here, Lord. I want to meet disciples here. Because I want to be inspired a little more to see you more clear. And maybe somebody needs my help to see you a little more clearer and become a better disciple, a better witness. Lord, I'm coming for that. I will give you rest and I will teach you. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart. You will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is Jesus calling us and it's not difficult. It's not heavy. The Lord helps us to walk the path which He walked. But we must have that desire. May the Lord help us. Amen.
We heard from Brother John in the beginning that Jesus was an example. And Paul, who was a disciple, a learner and follower of Jesus Christ, and he could say in his life, 1 Corinthians 11:1, follow me as I follow Christ. Don't believe that's a calling for me as a disciple. Learn, follow, and be able to say, follow me as I follow Christ. We have praise God for the examples in the church where we have godly brothers who can say that, follow me as I follow Christ. Thank God for examples and disciples. Recently, you know, somebody is saying, I want to follow you. I was like, no, don't follow me. And it struck me, this thought of being a disciple. And can I tell, as a father, can I tell my children, you know, when you grow up, follow me, follow dad, because your dad followed Jesus. If I'm not able to say that, it's not in the sense of, you know, being proud or arrogant, but that's my calling, to be able to say, follow me, because I'm a disciple. I learn and follow Jesus. Young Timothy, you know, it's for even young people. Acts 6:11, Paul found Timothy as a young person. We read about him, a young disciple. Acts 16:1, when he found him, a young disciple named Timothy. It's an encouragement for me and for all of us who are young. That young people, an young person can be a disciple. A disciple named Timothy was a young person. To this young person, Timothy, and Paul writes in 1 Timothy 4:12, a very known verse, 1 Timothy 4:11, when Paul wants to point out examples in the church, perhaps when we want to point out examples in the church, we immediately go and refer as, look at Brother Zach's life, Brother Ian's life, Elder's life. You know what Paul tells Timothy? Who should be an example to believers in the church? I was encouraged to read that. Show yourself, you young Timothy, show yourself an example to those who believe. That's my calling. That's our calling as young people. Lord, I want to learn from you and follow you. Praise God for the examples. Lord, I want to show myself an example. If I'm not able to say that, then I'm not a disciple like we heard. Either I'm not abiding in the word, or the love of God is not in my heart, or there is no fruit in my life. We read here that show yourself an example in some areas, you know, Paul points out a few areas. In speech I can be a disciple. In speech, in the way that I speak, I can be a disciple. Learn from Jesus, learn from the examples that we have, and I can follow in my conduct, in my love, in my faith, in my purity. Pretty much like what we read in the fruit of the Spirit which we heard, you know, like I want to be an example. And for that, Acts 19:1, we read about other group of disciples. Paul met other group of disciples in Acts 19:1. A group of disciples meeting at Ephesus, and we read there in the context there were about 10 disciples, 10 men who are disciples. We don't know if there are families there. And when Paul met them, he asked them, "Have you received the Holy Spirit?" They said, "We've never heard of Holy Spirit." "And what baptism that you took?" "We took the baptism of John the Baptist." You know, this is what is speaking to me. If I don't have the Holy Spirit, my baptism, even if I have taken the right baptism, I have to check. "Lord, give me the Holy Spirit, anoint me." Like we heard from the life of Jesus in Hebrews 5:7, cried out with loud crying, "Lord, give me this Holy Spirit so that I can be an effective disciple." Those disciples received the Holy Spirit. You know, even if I call myself a disciple, if I don't have the Holy Spirit, the fullness of the Spirit in my life, I want to cry out. Hebrews 5:7, in that context we read that, like Jesus cried out. And a few verses later in 11, the writer of Hebrews says, "I can say much more about Jesus, but you are dull of hearing." And like we heard in Matthew 13:15, "Dull of hearing, Lord, I am dull of hearing." You become dull of hearing. That's what Hebrews says. Become dull of hearing. Yes, you are hearing properly once, but you now become dull of hearing. "Lord, I want to come back to be a disciple, not just a believer. Give me, anoint me the Holy Spirit so I can be an effective witness for you. Follow you and be able to say, 'Follow me as I follow Christ.'" May God help each one of us. Amen.